Yippee!
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 Listen, what's the title of this thing? No title again?
And I did not live in
Is it rolling, Bob?
You back here, Leonard. Now, that's not a song you would normally hear, but it's called Key to the Highway, and that was from Death of a Ladies' Man. Thanks, Leonard. Not one of your greatest hits, but who cares, right? You're Leonard Cohen. We love you, we worship you, man. Scarber Dude, talking to you here from the Eglinton GO Station parking lot. Okay? We know where we are. Thank you. And it is, according to my clock, 1:15 a.m. That'll be Sunday morning, Saturday night. Now, I've just released a podcast, Dixon James number 449, going on about what a shit I felt like for being a drunk, going to the party at Pauper's and drinking with the youngsters. And here I am, Saturday night, coming home, half cut, at the very least, from the only cafe, night out drinking with Brian. Like, what the fuck, man? What are you saying? You're scolding yourself for being a piss artist and going out and drinking. And here you are two nights in a row again. Yeah, well, let me explain, okay? Last podcast, I had showed up late for a meeting, feeling shitty, you know, I drank the night before, whatever. So today, Saturday, was just about survival. You know, I gotta buy a fucking rat trap, mouse trap. Apparently this one can catch up to 4 alive. Well, I don't believe that for a moment. I don't think it'll catch any. But I did put it down under the sink with a slab of peanut butter. And just hope that I'd catch one, you know. Because I gotta deal with this thing of the fucking mice in the house. Oh, my God. Anyway, my wife had to work all day today. Very fun. You know, a bizarre, you know, and no way around it. I had my meeting. I hadn't even shaved, showered, any of the above. Came home, put out Dixon Jane's podcast number 448. Felt pretty good about it. Pretty good about it. Because I included the last clip from the Eglinton GO sparking lot, which would have been recorded last night. And here I am. Here I am. An hour earlier, something like that, back at you. And you're thinking, well, dude, you know, you questioned the first time. Why are you doing this again? Why are you inflicting your drunken self on us? Can't you give us a better self? Well, fuck you. No. This is who I am. All right? I was at home. My son came down. I'm watching. My wife worked today, okay? She's lying on the sofa. She's reading a book. Next thing, she's sleeping. All right. My son comes downstairs. Dad, can you drive me to the GO station? Well, yeah, but, like, when? Now? Meanwhile, I know Brian has gone to the Only Cafe because tonight at the Only Cafe, they are having Bose on tap. They've taken over at least half the taps with variations of Bose. Now, you know, if you listen to this show, for Christ's sake, that I have talked many times about how much I love my Bose. The lug tread and anything else they've tried, but Bose has been my go-to. That's a good one. Two beers, I rave about Bose and the one up out of here. What is it? Cameron? No, not Cameron. That's Cameron House. Begins with a C. Anyway, let's focus on Bose for a while, okay? I'll get to the other one. Bose has taken over the taps, the only cafe. Well, fuck, man, you don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss that. Yeah, but, man, I was out last night, and I'm feeling guilty. My wife worked today, and it just doesn't feel right going out to a bar again. Jesus, man. Friday night, Saturday night, too? You got to do that? My son was there. When he said, I need a lift to the GO station, I'm thinking, all right, yeah, boom, drop you off at the GO station. I hop on that 116 to Kennedy Station, jump on the subway, get off at Donlands, bam, there I am at the only cafe. Now, Brian's already here. Brian's been there since 7. I show up at 9. Can't find him anywhere. He's out back. I never even thought to look there. Bo's night is still gone. Now, friend comes up to me, to make a long story short, wearing this very spiffy Bo's scarf. And I'm thinking, fuck, man. I am the guy who talks about Bo's. I am the guy who gives these guys the plugs. I'm the Scarborough dude. I'm the real thing. You make good beer. I drink your beer. I celebrate your story. Father and son. Like I'm the real thing here, man. She's got a scarf. I want one of those, man. I deserve it. Takes an hour. Guy beside us at the bar, suddenly, bam, we got two full Bose in front of us. Really good ones. Now, I can't tell you all the names because there are so many of them. There was Dirty Beaver. It wasn't Dirty Beaver. They wouldn't call it Dirty Beaver. Beaver River, maybe, okay? Although Dirty Beaver's not... You know, not bad. I had a Pilsner, coffee Pilsner, with a name I couldn't pronounce. Everything I had was good. All right, I'm telling you, Bose does it right. All right, now you're saying, hey, whoa. Starting to sound like a plug here. Starting to sound like you're, whoa, what? All right, what's the deal, dude? You get something for them? Yes, I got a scarf. Yes, I am proudly wearing my Bose scarf right now. I'm more proud of myself for scoring this because when the guy came over who actually turned out to be a Bose guy, I said, hey, whoa, hang on just a second, buddy. Hang on just a second. I have talked about Bose from the beginning. I have mentioned how brilliant their marketing is. When you can buy 4 Bose in a cardboard container that you can handily lift out of the LCBO. Holy shit, whoever came up with that idea, that was brilliant marketing. 4 big fucking bottles of Bose, more beer than a six-pack, as they say, and you're walking out with a recyclable cardboard container. What a thing to bring to a party. Brilliant. Bought many of those in my day. Now, I tell this guy, listen, I'm host of the Dixon James podcast. I'm what is known as the Scarborough Dude. The Scarborough Dude. I host a podcast, and I talk about the beer I like. And I don't talk about fucking Molson Canadian or Coors fucking Light. I talk about Coors. Not. I talk about Bose. And that other one, the place I can't remember, fucking up north. Well, it begins with a C. How can I not remember? It's not Cameron. What is that other one that I really like? Anyway, this is going to be a Bose ad. I better get back to the Bose part. I tell the guy, I do a podcast, and in fact, I deserve one of these scarves because I've actually talked about your beer on my podcast. He says, well, I'll see what I can do. And, of course, he comes back. And here I am sporting right now a made in Canada bow scarf. It's beautiful. It is something I will wear, and I told him I will wear that. If I have to do a presentation, I'm fucking getting on stage with my Bose scarf. I'll wear this in my fucking classroom. Like, I'm proud of it because I said, hey, if anybody deserves one of those fucking Bose scarves, it's the fucking Scarborough dude, because I drink your fucking beer and I tell people how good it is. Okay? Let's get that out of the way. Now, he gave me one. The other guy handed us two free beer. This is Brian and I. We're feeling pretty good. And I guess that's maybe as far as I want to go with that story for now. I'm sitting here, Go Station parking lot, feeling this scarf. You hear the sound of it. Looking at the tractor design and telling them, hey, you know, you guys are in Van Cleek Hill. I know that because I'm from Valleyfield. The guy who gave me the scarf, yeah, I know Valleyfield, man. Now, not a lot of people know Valleyfield, but this guy knew Valleyfield. So I'm going to write to him, I'm going to thank him, and I'm going to say, hey, if you got any more swag, yours truly, the Scarborough dude, is the one guy who deserves it more than anybody else. Okay? So that's it, Dixon Janes. Welcome to episode number 450, is that it? 440? Yeah, 450. 125 on a Sunday morning. Time for me to shut down, get home, steal something out of the fridge, and hope that tomorrow is a more productive day than today turned out to be. Bye for now.
There's a trade you all know well. Bringing the cattle over. Now listen while I tell to you how I became a drover. I wanted stock for Queensland, to Kempsey I did wander. Bought 1,000 cattle there and then turned overland. Pass the bottle round, boys, and don't you leave it stand there. For tonight we'll drink the health of every overlander. When the cattle were counted and the outfit ready to start, I saw the boys all mounted with their swag thrown in the cart. All kinds of men I had too, from France and Spain and Flanders, lawyers, doctors, good and bad in the mob of overlanders. Pass the bottle round, boys, and don't you leave it stand there, for tonight we'll drink the health of every overlander. We move the cattle 50 miles and make camp for the day. We talk about the rich folks' life and true love's far away. Our tucker isn't fancy, beef and tea and damper, but wash it down with Queensland rum, it suits the overlander. Pass the bottle round, boys, and don't you leave it stand there, for tonight we'll drink the health of every overlander. Our clothes are getting dirtier, in our throats they choke with dust. We set our tired horses free, and in the dogs we trust. We gaze into the shimmering haze and dream of places grander. But come what may, we know we'll stay the Queensland overlander. Pass the bottle round, boys, and don't you leave it stand there. For tonight we'll drink the health of every overlander. In town we dress ourselves up and we go and see a play. We never think of being hard up or how to spend a day. We steer up to them pretty girls that dress themselves in grandeur, and while they sweat our checks, they swear they love the overlander. Pass the bottle round, boys, and don't you leave it stand there, for tonight we'll drink the health of every overlander. Pass the bottle round, boys, and don't you leave it stand there, for tonight we'll drink the health of every overlander.
Chick, 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 chick. Monday morning, March 31st, end of March, Jesus. I got a long list of things I should have done in March, and I guess they'll be put off till April. Because I don't know how much is going to happen today. It's a sunny day. It's cool, but very nice. The water's calm. I'm sitting on the bench that was too cold to sit at last time I came out here.
under the willow tree at the point of the boat launch area of Buffers Park. It's actually quite beautiful looking out. The lake is very calm. It's lovely. It's really, 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 at least in this part of the country, starting to feel like spring. Went out for a lovely drive yesterday with my wife. All the back country roads, you know, all the way up to Uxbridge area. We followed signs down narrow, winding, hilly roads to get to this antique farm. And it was kind of an interesting place, but it was spooky. By the time we were on a sort of a one-way lane into the woods, my wife was saying, turn back, and I'm getting all those Walking Dead feelings, you know, when you pull up on this barn. And suddenly there's this beautiful brick house of a fairly wealthy farm, I guess. Anyway, pine furniture and handicrafts, and saw one painting just on the way out that my wife pointed out. And I said, oh, man, I want that. But it was too late, and she said, no, you don't. Anyway, it was a nice day. It feels good, as much as I rave about those winter storms. I'm done with it now. I've had my fill. I'm ready for spring, and spring is what we've got today. That's what it feels like. So much for the weather report. Just listen to Anthony Marco's Love-Hate Things from broadcast on a Saturday night. And he starts off slow. Hey, I'm just sitting here doing nothing in my comfortable chair. And then Anthony does what Anthony can do, and it takes a certain skill and talent, certainly signs of a teacher, to just pick up a theme and play with it, figuring out life, you know. He's sort of doing nothing and saying, well, what's the meaning of this sort of doing nothing? And next thing you know, he's got this formula. Well, what the hell is life after all? And he starts drilling down, and he comes up, it's memory and hope. And then he still works with it, you know, and he's throwing that around. It's just memory and hope. And then, no, there's something else. How do you account for the present? He never used the word now. And wasn't happy with the word the present, which was boring, and came up with presence. So memory, presence, and hope. And it really is a nice little formula, and I try it as I'm listening and driving. You know, I dropped my son off at school, and I'm driving back, admiring Anthony's skill to juggle, you know, to word juggle, to play, to say, okay, I've put the recorder on, as I'm doing with you now. Let's play. Let's make something happen here. What are we gonna work out today? And he came up with this. And I tried to throw in anguish. There's something missing. What about anguish? And then realized, no. Well, wait. Anguish could be a memory. You might have terrible bad memories. It doesn't mean all memories are good or fond memories. No, you can have horrible memories. So your anguish might be the loss of a loved one or whatever. So it's taken care of by memory. Anguish could be in the present. Anybody suffering some horrible disease or locked up in a South American jail or whatever may be experiencing anguish, but it's still very much the present. Just, again, not a happy present necessarily. And hope sort of is the counterpart to anguish, maybe. And it just doesn't exist when you have hope. So his formula works as is. No need to change it. Memory, presence, and hope. So thanks, Anthony, for that one. But again, more than the formula, I'm just complimenting you on your skill to juggle the words and play and have fun and make something out of nothing, basically, is what you did. So I know that there's an awful lot of cross-referencing on this podcast. To me, that's part of it, because I feel very much, to me, podcasting is part of being a member of a community. And I know not everybody agrees with that or sees it that way, but I think it just adds another dimension to it. And to me, anyway, makes it more fun. I mean, here I am wearing this spiffy, lovely, light spring leather coat that was a gift from Shane, who I only know through podcast. Or that's how I got to know. Now, Shane doesn't even listen to my podcast. It just doesn't matter anymore. We're friends beyond that. I'm also wearing that lovely Bose scarf that I got Saturday night. I'm going to have to write to them and thank them. It's a delightful. I love it. It goes perfect with this jacket. yeah. So, God, that's not much to say. But I guess sometimes my, who knows how moods swing around and what you're going to end up saying left and right. I don't know. I'm at a loss. My God, oh my God, are you serious? You're at a loss? That's not possible, dude. You've always got something you want to share. And yeah, but right now I just forget. I just wanted to sit here on the bench and enjoy the feeling of the sunshine, the sound of the birds, the stillness of the water. The present. I've got a head full of memories as I am contemplating, and I may as well reveal it here, I wasn't going to, but, you know, this idea of working towards one day telling my story in print form, or some kind of form, electronic form, my words, memories are coming up into my head, like today's was the, my summer working as a railway porter from the, on Via Rail from Vancouver to Winnipeg, and all the various pieces of that, and how I would frame that story and tell it. So my head is a continual source of entertainment. I guess that's true for all of us. You'd hope so, right? Like, hey, what else you got going on? If you're just, my God, a poor slave carrying rocks uphill. Oh, how horrible. And I'm not that. I live a relative life of luxury, as humble as it may be. It's pretty damn delightful. I go out for beer when I want. I got food in the fridge that I want. I've got a comfortable home. I have all the blessings of a good life, and I really should be as grateful as possible and do even more than that, and somehow share some of the wealth I've got. I don't mean financially, but just by giving in other ways. I think I'm going to start with a couple of apologies to a couple of my students who I just feel I've just been a little short with lately, a little bit pissed off with. Another way I could do that is this morning, as usual, it's my son has his 8:30 class. I'm looking at the clock. I'm watching 8:10, 8:15, knowing how long it takes to get there. It's 8:18, and I just can't hold myself back. I know telling him to hurry up doesn't help. I know I'm frustrated already because he can't possibly be ready if he's only waking up at 7:30 and he plans to leave at 8, and I know it takes him a minimum of 45 minutes to get out of the house, and I just feel the tension rise and bubble up and boil over, and I'm just, and I'm just, trying and telling myself, and he's already told me, and he's taught me, don't yell at me, it doesn't help, it makes it worse, and I can't control myself. I just, you know, I reach the, because part of it is, I'm the teacher, and this is how it relates to the apologies I owe, who just gets pissed when students arrive late for class. I just have no patience for it. Hey, for fuck's sake, you're studying to get a job. Jobs expect you to show up on fucking time. So it's just one of those touch points with me that drives me nuts. And I finally just give a shout, oh, for Christ's sake, hurry up, and just a shouting, you know, and I realize, oh, now I've done it, because once we do get in the car, he's going to have to get back at me, and it's just not going to be pleasant, and I'm just, you know, the fact is, I knew, the voice said, don't yell, it's not going to help, and the other voice said, fuck that, I feel like yelling, I have to express my anger, so I'm going to yell, and I did. The odd thing is, he got in the car, fine mood, I'm listening to a podcast, oh, who's this? And I'm telling him about the Jonathan Files, and of course he's met Dave Brodbeck. And everything's cool, we're having a nice conversation, and he's tuning in, and wow, I don't get it. And at the very end, as we pull up to college, I say, okay, I really am sorry for yelling, I know it doesn't do any good. And, of course, that gave him an opportunity to vent just a little bit about, yeah, why it's so foolish and so on. But it ended well, you know. So there you go. Maybe that's related somehow to the presence, the memory, the hope that we have hope that he will do well and get through this course and succeed and have a life that we don't have to worry about anymore in the future. And the memory is also the memory of driving his brother when he was in college to school and having conversations and sharing some time together. And this presence sort of becomes a memory. Anyway, I guess that's all I've got for you. That's probably more than enough. I just wish I could share with you how pleasant it feels to have the sun just beaming down on your skin, on your face. I turn to look at it right now. My eyes are closed. And you just feel that wonderful warmth on your flesh. And you think, wow, this is just beautiful. This is just beautiful.
The Meat Puppets.
As you reach an imagined level of awareness, try to remember these three phases and try to recognize where you are. Do not attempt to control or rationalize the experience. Turn your attention to your body. Try to become conscious of every cell in your body. Notice how various and usual sensations are pulsating through your mind. The flow of the energy pathway.
Okay. Cutting in here because I can never do that justice. Who could guess whose podcast that is? If you guessed Adam Great Tricks, you're right. That's Feed Forward 333 Audio Experience. And it is that. Every single one of them is 3 minutes, 33 seconds. And it is an audio experience, but you really must listen with a good pair of headphones or at least decent earbuds. And don't listen while you're trying to think or do anything else, because you won't be able to. I still don't know how Adam does all this stuff. Like, either he's got an awful lot of time to do an awful lot of editing, or he finds things whole out there and just sort of somehow squeezes them into this 333 time slot. But whatever, hats off to one of our most creative podcasters out there, Adam Great Tricks, out on the West Coast, who we don't hear from often enough. I was delighted to hear him on that other podcast that I'm done with this podcast, featuring our good friend, MMD, also known as the Mad Hatter. I miss Adam, and I was just thinking, as I took a walk along the park, I'm in Thompson Park now. I forced myself to get out of the car, out of snooze position, because I get in here, put on podcasts on through the car radio, tilt the seat back, and just kind of drift off. And I said, no, you got to get up and have a walk. It's a bit cold out, but I walked, and I thought, you know, I love these Talking to Tim episodes I've talked about on the Having Said That brand or label. And then I did a Talking to Shane, and it would really be good to do a Talking to Adam. I'd really like to do that. So, Adam, if you're out there and you're listening to this, sometime we got to Skype together and do. And, of course, I won't hold back. I'm going to, you know, I want real stuff out of this. I want people to know who you are. I want to know what you're thinking. What's going on in your life? Where are you heading? And I say all that because that's kind of the theme that I want to leap towards now, if I can. Where am I going in life? And it sounds like, a silly question for somebody who's going to be 66 this month to be asking, what are you going to do with your life? And the truth is, I don't know. Like, I keep pushing back the time frame. Okay, well, I could probably work somewhere or another until I'm saying 70 now. Isn't that frightening? And I don't want to be a Walmart greeter. I want to do something that's worthwhile with the time. And yet, present situation overall is good, like the teaching situation. In fact, it's probably near perfect. Teaching 2 semesters at the college with a specialty class that I really enjoy and not too heavy a course load. And then summer's off. I'm off from May until September to look after my one study tour from Japan. Well, I had a meeting today. I don't want to get into the details, but it opened up somebody else wanting to work with my company. I do have a company. It's been around for 20 years plus. Canadian Study Tours. It's not much of a presence online because I don't need to. I don't want to. I've scaled it back already. But this person thought, I'd like to work with you. And it's a person I would love to work with for some very good reasons. And things sort of maybe got set in motion today. And I'm having to ask myself, okay, man, your time is, I will say, finite. Of course it is. But how much energy have you got left? How much can you commit yourself to anything when you seem to be napping more these days and doing less? And you want to take on new projects? And money is always a factor. Yeah, I need to continue to have sources of income. That's just a given. But more so, I'm asking myself, well, what is it you want? If you're going to spend this time, which is limited, what are you going to spend it on? Or what are you going to put your energies and efforts towards so that it is well spent, that it's not wasted. And it's got to be something that changes people, touches people, has an impact on other people's lives. And I do that certainly with my summer tour. To some degree, I do that with my teaching, but it's somewhat limited and confined because you're not dealing with the whole of the person's life. You're dealing with just one particular course to help them reach another level in English. Really, ultimately, it comes down to that. You may have some encouraging words for people, and you may be, you know, happy. Like when ex-students see me in the hallway, it's always a big smile and greeting, but it's somewhat limited. I also, yesterday, signed up for the last two courses I need for counseling, group and family counseling, which is going to be very interesting. It's going to be a challenge. I think personally I'm going to find it definitely worthwhile and rewarding, but also, you know, testing my limits too. And at the end, if I do this and the other course on professional ethics or whatever, I will have one more certificate. Now, that's going to be the last. That's going to be the last little piece of, you know, post-grad papers I'm going to chase. I did the mediation. I did the teacher of adults. I did the TESOL. And now this will be counseling. And a very simple form of counseling, but worthwhile and, you know, beneficial. And whether or not I'll be able to apply that directly to any job or not, even more than that is what it means to me to actually study, read a textbook, do role plays, get involved, do my best. Like I put everything into it when I take a course. I'm motivated. It'll be working, engaging with other people because you'll have to be if it's a group type of thing. Oh my God, there's a guy who just beside me pulled up in a car and he blew out a cloud of smoke that just looked like you'd see in a cartoon of just this huge puff. It was a huge pipe of some kind. And I've just never seen such a... Honestly, it was cartoon. It was like, draw as much smoke as you can. And whew, that's what he just blew in his car. So I don't know. I better get out of the parking lot before he does. This is Thompson Park. And I guess people come here for a variety of reasons. Mostly dog walking. In the summer, it's picnics and barbecues and cultural events. And I guess some people maybe just come here to get high. I don't do much of that. I only get high on, if I'm halfway through a night of drinking in a bar and I just step out to have a little talk to enliven the evening, I'll put it that way. So anyway, it's a very serious question. I'm not doing a very good job because there's always this little bit of, it's not self-consciousness, but how much should I be revealing about sort of the business side of my life? I don't really keep it under wraps. You know what I do. But it is a big part of me. Is it that there's a fear that if I just talk about it, it somehow makes it kind of superficial and not so real? And that if I really, really do want to ask myself some serious questions about what are you going to do with your life? What's map out the next 5 years? Would I be better served by sitting quietly and not talking to you about it and just going off in a corner? Or does this podcasting actually serve some purpose? Or is it just me bragging, look at me, I'm doing all these things, which I really sincerely hope it is not a case of. Really, really, really. I'm just... You'd have to go back to that very first question. Why are you podcasting? What's the purpose of this thing? And I've always said from the start, it's therapeutic. It helps me get stuff out of my head. It sometimes I think forces me to clarify things a little bit. And when things happen, like today was an eventful day. It was a non-teaching day, but I was at the college pretty well all day. I had this meeting, which was of some significance. It was a real trust-building hour spent with somebody else who I do respect and would like to work with. And then it was sort of a thank you to our leaving chairperson, our departing chairperson, acting chairperson, and a welcoming in of our new chairperson, who doesn't really impact me a whole lot other than to recognize that at this college where I teach, where I'm fortunate enough to be teaching, there are a lot of very intelligent, hardworking, highly motivated, very interesting, and very good people. And it's really nice to be in an atmosphere like that, because not everybody works in such a place. But I can honestly say that the teaching staff, the English department anyway, that I'm familiar with, are very high caliber and quite wonderful. And any one of them, I would enjoy almost any one of them spending time with, just sitting talking about absolutely anything. And the outgoing chair in particular, fantastic guy. Co-written at least one of the textbooks and just gave a wonderful, heartwarming speech about... And maybe it was actually on the same theme, because he was asked, as our previous chairperson left, and I guess in kind of a hurry, I wasn't here, it happened during the summer, and he was asked to take over. He said he really hesitated, and even after he agreed, he was very, very close to going back and saying, no, I just can't do it. I just don't know if I'm up to it. And it was very interesting to see somebody I respect so highly owning up to his own lack of confidence, doubts about his own abilities, even though he was absolutely perfect for the job. But, you know, what we see in a person doesn't always match up with how they see themselves. And he gave a really good impromptu, off the cuff, because this was a surprise, speech about that and how the turning point finally for him was that he knew he had such a great team of teachers that, I mean, what's the worst thing could happen, you know, would really isn't all that serious. But there was always going to be people there he could count on to work with, and that he had a solid base through his co-workers. And it was heartfelt and moving, and it was an example of a speech where a guy just stood up, took his time, searched for the words, let us know he was searching for the words, and eventually arrived at exactly the point he wanted to. But again, that's the very same theme of what do I do with my life. And he decided he could have had the job. He was offered the job. And after 6 months, he declined, said, no, I'll just go back to doing the teaching and being a department head or something else, that this really isn't the career path I want. And so I'm asking myself, do I want to get more involved with more business through my Canadian study tours? And probably I should. There's another part of me that always thinks, wait a minute, you've had a company for 20 years that's been successful. You've made money. It makes money every year. I've supported myself on it. It's got a great credibility, a track record of working with a Japanese school. A lot of really good partners and people involved. Why would I just let that go? Why don't I try and hang on to this and actually make it a viable business? And maybe one of the ways is to get involved with more people. However, those are details that I really do not need to get into with you or with anybody else other than myself, maybe my wife, my son, who I can count on for good advice. But I do need to think about. And basically, I guess maybe sometimes, and maybe I think too much about my age. Because it's been so branded in that people retire at 65, that's not how I feel, but I keep throwing that number at myself. And you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're hearing me do this all the time. I'm continually talking about my age. I got to stop that. And I got to say, well, what is it you feel? What's your mental age? And what is it you're doing? And why are you letting those numbers dictate your future plans? Don't, man. You don't have to be doing that. So if I could take that advice, that would be very helpful. I don't know if I can. I guess that's it. Only one other shout-out, and that is to our friend Jason in Tennessee. Is it Tennessee? Yeah.
what you call a Pushmore, we call a Pushmore, except your Pushmore has either an electric motor or a gasoline motor, and our push motors, mowers, have no motor at all. It's just this spinning wheel with spiral blades in it that you push. You're pushing back and forth. There's absolutely no motor, no kerosene or gasoline, no electricity, nothing else involved. It's the original lawn mower. That's what they are. So when you're starting up your push mower, yes, okay, you don't sit on it and drive it, but I think of that as I think what we would call it is a power lawnmower. It's a power mower. Just saying, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I just think that this is perhaps a Canadian-American difference, or perhaps, Jason just wants to think he's roughing it by not having a seat to sit on when he mows the lawn. I don't know. All right. So glad you're part of the team, part of the club, Jason, up in this brain. It's good to have you on board. Take care. Bye for now.
Heading for the station with a pack on my back. I'm tired of transportation in the back of a hack. I love to hear the rhythm of the clickety-clack and hear the lonesome whistle, see the smoke from the stack, and pal around with Democratic fellas named Mac. So take me right back to the track, Jack. Choo-choo, choo-choo, jiboogie. Woo-woo, woo-woo, jiboogie. Choo-choo, choo-choo, jiboogie. Take me right back to the track, Jack. But alas and alack, you need some compensation to get back in the black. You take a morning paper from the top of the stack and read the situations from the front to the back. The only job that's open needs a man with a knack, so put it right back in the rack, Jack. Choo-choo, choo-choo, chiboogie. Woo-woo, woo-woo, chiboogie. Choo-choo, choo-choo, chiboogie. Take me right back to the track, Jack. Track, live the life of Riley in the beaten down shack. So when I hear a whistle, I can peep through the crack and watch the train a rolling when it's falling a jack. For I just love the rhythm of the clickety clack. So take me right back to the track, Jack. Choo choo, choo choo, chiboogie. Woo woo, woo woo, chiboogie. Choo choo, choo choo, chiboogie. Take me right back to the track.
I'm back so soon. A little surprised I'm doing this. I'm in the parking lot. Actually, it's a student parking lot at our college. I've got about an hour before my next class, and I already know what I'm going to do. I'm going to wing it and let them ask me personal questions, since they all did very personal presentations the other day. And if there are no questions, I'll threaten them with a handout. All right, ask me questions, I'm going to give you some work to do. And then after that, of course, they have a test. So I've got a little bit of time. I just listened to the preceding clip that you've just heard. There's a Nirvana tune in there, and I put that in because I just heard that it's 20 years since Kurt Cobain's suicide. It strikes me as really sad. I wasn't a fan of them when they were new. I didn't know I'd hear this stuff.
But I guess I came to know the music more much later on and really, really like it. I like the rawness. And, of course, that Unplugged in New York City or whatever it's called is just an amazing Nirvana CD. So there is a Nirvana tune in memory of Kurt Cobain for you. I have a lot of things to say. One of them is I just noticed as I was signing out the last clip talking about Jason and his Powermore, I just like, boom, this thought exploded in my head. It's, my God, you sound just as if your dad would have on his ham radio, this business of joining the club. And I guess this is where I've been going, and maybe I've always been with podcasting. Why I keep harping so much about community. My dad, regular listeners would know, was a ham radio operator all his life, VE2YP, when he was in Quebec, and then later VE3XYP when he moved to Ontario, had to get a new ham operator. And right up until he died, he was still, he still had his Morse code. He got his first computer, maybe it was a Tandy or something, I don't know, and there was a Morse code program and he could keep up with it, and he was quite proud of the fact. But of course my entire childhood has images of him in the radio room. Every house we ever had always had a radio room, not a den, not an office, but a radio room. And first ones had my brother's Lionel Electric Saint train set set up in there, and his gun collection would be in the radio room. He was an avid gun collector until things just got scary and he decided he had to sell everything. Scary, I mean, just break-ins and bad things happening and being a new world. But anyway, he was just, he enjoyed it because he enjoyed just reaching out into the night and talking to different people. And, you know, sharing, and it was usually, it was Morse and not not even voice. But when I said, welcome to the club to Jason, it just jarred. It suddenly thought, wow, I'm talking like this is a little private radio club that we're members of. And I'm try to be, and I think I am very inclusive. You know, if you listen to, I mean, I've already mentioned MMD, and I've mentioned Adam, and I've mentioned Jason, and this is pretty standard for any podcast I put out there. And I guess maybe that's one of the things. It's a realization. It's just coming to me now. Oh, yeah. I've been doing this, I think, on a subconscious level all along, but just now making that connection with my dad and his ham radio, which I've mentioned before in the podcast, but never felt it the way I felt it just that moment. I guess I'm still feeling it. Anyway, what was it I wanted to get on to? I just wanted to bring you up to date on that little observation. And maybe that's it. Maybe I'll just go in and see which handout I'm going to threaten the students with today and get back to you soon. I'm off for a teaching conference tomorrow, way out in the far end of the city, Mississauga side. Although, where is Humber College? I guess Humber is in Etobicoke, I don't know. And there's just things to do. I'm looking at my points. I've got 10,000 air miles that I could use to get to Los Angeles to see Tim. Although Tim doesn't take visitors, so Shane tells me. And I could go up to Nunavut, or Iqaluit, anytime. I've got these points I can use. It's wonderful. So, anyway, I got my whole summer lined up with travel plans. So, stay tuned, and back to you real soon. Bye for now.
It's easy to stay alive. Like, you know, people can stay alive on ventilators for years in a comatose state. But is that living? I would say not. Now, my accident happened at the beginning of my life. I was 23 years old. What if that accident happened when I was 85? I can tell you unequivocally that I would not want to continue on. But they could. They could keep me alive for years, 15 years, you know, until everything else shut down. Who are we to say who is right or wrong other than to ensure that
it's, that's a bit heavy,
done in a way that is humane and compassionate with empathy and
That's our mercy. MP who
and
is
people ask all the difficult
living in a wheelchair
with your loved ones, regardless of what age they are, just so you know, because you never know when you're going to have a crash.
Okay, Suki and Lee on Definitely Not the Opera. We'll stop there. I've just got a few minutes, I believe, to finish off this podcast and perhaps even start another one, but let's put an end to this one first. Is it, what, number 450? It's Saturday afternoon. Sun is shining. It's windy. I'm at Buffers Park. I drove straight here from, wherever I was. I don't know, even know if the area was Etobicoke. It was Humber College, anyway, their north campus. I attended a free seminar. An email went around a few weeks ago saying, oh, we're having an annual conference. A lot on social media. And I jumped at it, and I'm so glad I did. Got up early this morning, drove on out there. They laid on, you know, coffee, juice, muffins, pastries, and then at the end, a full lunch, like, you know, chicken, a really good chicken sauce, vegetables, coffee, desserts. It was excellent, excellent. And then there was a featured speaker, a keynote, who was a whiz kid who had been on computers since he was 2 years old and was chosen. Oh, I you know, I could put up a link, except I don't want him linking back to my podcast or blog. But it was about, the whole presentation was about really sort of uniting the world through the internet and trying to establish more and more programs for young people to take over control of their own education and connect with other learners in other countries. Very, very positive spirit. He talked about one project where kids were able to, through the generous donations from large corporations, monitor rainforests in Borneo that were being illegally cut down. The kids were able to sort of get a patch of that rainforest from satellite view and monitor them, and then relay information back if they saw activity or things were changing every week to other locally funded groups. And then they were trying to station actual volunteers in the country, older people. You know, that's just one crazy example. Sorry, I'm a little loud here, eh? It was brilliant. I'm just really, really impressed with what this guy was doing. A lot of links up there, which I will explore certainly as an educator. But it was to try and inspire you to realize some of the potential, I guess, of the internet and how this planet is in desperate need of connecting with each other. I attended another session on using iPads in the classroom, and I walked out before he started. As soon as I got the handout, I walked out, because all the stuff he was talking about was stuff that I'm already doing through Desire to Learn and used to do on Blackboard, you know, sort of interacting with your students. But why have them do it when they can connect to Desire to Learn, the D2L on whatever machine they've got, computer and so on. You know, using Dropbox and all those things. So there was no point in that one. Dropped in another session on somebody trying to talk about injecting a little more energy into your teaching. And it was a bit of a flop. Really. I guess I'm too much of an old dog to get much out of any sort of, you know, she was talking about using video in the classroom and games and stuff. No, nothing. And then one more session on social media, and the guy was terrific. And he went through everything and just how are you using it and what are the benefits, and of course came up recommending that everybody be on LinkedIn, certainly if you're going to connect with your students, and Twitter. Those are his two favorites. But no mention of podcasting, and so I was the guy who brought it up. And then after I saw him at lunchtime, I was sitting actually with one of the head honchos at Humber College, which was kind of nice. Good discussion on how Canada is lagging behind and developing ideas and You know, we're getting all these buildings, these tremendous facilities. All our colleges are tons of money being put into the physical structure, but not much on innovation and new ideas. And that's we're really lagging behind. She was interesting. Anyway, the same guy who gave the lecture on social media came by, and I talked a little more with him. Somebody I will probably hook up with. Anyway, all in all, I'm just really glad I got my ass out of bed and went off to this conference and did it. It's good. It's just good to keep yourself active. It certainly was thought-provoking. I made a lot of notes on my iPad. I talked a lot about what kind of things maybe I can do with my students. And just, you know, keeping at it. That's all, just keeping at it, staying active. And then just, you know, talking to a lot of nice people at the college and seeing another community college. It was great to visit them. So, productive day so far. Now I probably need a little nap, and then I know I'm going to feel like beer tonight, but... just one Schlitz, yeah, nothing else comes near. When you're out of Schlitz, you're out of beer. Schlitz. You're out of beer. Real gusto in the great light beer. Schlitz.